Guys, this is Sarah French. You can find me in such films as Space Force, Quest for the Deep Star, That's a Wrap, Blind, and the upcoming Garden of Eden, and Brute 1976. You are listening to Don't Go Out There podcast.
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin. And they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast. Just want to thank all our fans and listeners. We really appreciate your support. You guys are awesome. I'm super excited for this upcoming interview. We are joined today by another legend of the business with nearly 100 credits to her name, a horror staple, Miss Sarah French. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We really appreciate your time. And we like to just kick off all of our interviews just by asking, what is it that got you into acting?
Wow, that's a loaded question. but I'll try to make it as quick as possible. I think I've always been drawn to acting. When I was a kid, I would put on little shows for the family. I lived on a farm. So when you live on a farm back, I don't want to date myself, but back in the day, we didn't have cable. We didn't have internet. We barely even had a phone. So, you know, you have to be creative. So we would put on little plays and stuff for the family. And that followed me into my teenage years when other kids were out drinking and doing drugs. I found friends that just wanted to create. So we made short horror films, short comedy films, and, you know, just kind of took off. And I went to school for criminal justice because I've always loved, you know, learning about the criminal mind and what makes them tick. So I was like, oh, maybe that's what I want to do for my career. But while I was in college, I actually took some theater classes and I fell in love with it. And then I was at a concert, a metal concert, and I was dressed all goth and everything. And a photographer came up to me and he was like, oh, I love your look. We should shoot some time. And I'm just like, who's this creeper? And we,
yeah.
and then I finally decided to shoot with him. And I fell in love with being, you know, in front of the camera and creating. And soon after that, I started to kind of break out of my shell because I was very shy growing up. And soon after that, I was doing I was on this online horror forum and somebody was casting for a short horror film called Your Next Three Pajama Party Massacre. And I was like, oh, I totally fit this character they're looking for. And I wrote them and we set up a coffee date and they loved my attitude and they were like, you are this character. So, so that's kind of where it all started. But where it really started for me, especially in the horror genre, was when I was 5 years old. I went to a video store with my sister and my grandma was babysitting us. So she took us to this video store and yes, I'm dating myself.
No, we're right there with you. It's okay.
We back in the day when they, you know, you could rent VHS and it was just right. The best. But there was this movie on the shelf that I was drawn to and I was 5 years old and it was Child's Play. And I was just like, oh my God. I said to my sister, we need to rent this. We got to talk our grandma into renting it for us. And we did. And we got to watch it. And I kind of just, I fell in love with the genre. And that's kind of where it all started because, you know, when I was a teenager, we would make short horror films and I loved that. And, you know, I did my very first gig was a horror film and I've done a bunch since then. So that's the short answer.
Right. I got you. Tell me. Okay. So we have had 60 something interviews at this point or stage and almost everyone, I mean, a ton of people have said that Child's Play is what roped them in as well. Nico, I think even, you know, Child's Play was a big part of his childhood as well.
Yeah, he scared the shit out of me.
Well, you know, it's something about a killer doll. I mean, it's scary, especially when you're a kid and you're watching that. You're like traumatized, but at the same time, you're like, as scared as I am, I love this and I want more. Especially right. for me growing up in a household where my mom was super religious. The first house I lived in, we were right across the street from the church that we went to. And it was, you know, she didn't want us watching horror films and kissing scenes. And, you know, she tried covering her eyes as much as possible to that. And I think, you know, when you're a kid and your parents say no to something, what do? You mm-hmm. do the opposite and you're like, now I want more. You're telling me no. Well, now I want to watch it. Now I want to do it.
Right.
Absolutely. All right, I've got to ask you about Bloodthirst. It's got you, Tara Reid, my guy Mark Hoffman, Kosis Mandalore from Saul. It looks and sounds fantastic. Can you tell us just a little bit about it before I go check it out?
Yeah, that one's more of like a post-apocalyptic vampire film that takes place nice. In the desert. We shot that in Nevada, which was awesome. And it's just vampires just trying to take over and the human race is trying to survive. And a lot of back and forth, a lot of fun. That one's a good one. And Kostas Mandalore was so great to work with. I've worked with him now a couple times and he's such a great actor's actor. And
right.
he always wants to make the scene, as I do as well. Just, he wants to elevate it and make it, you know, as great as we can. And he's a really great storyteller, really great actor. So we really bonded, I think, on that set. And it was just really great. And a lot of really wonderful people worked on that. So definitely check it out. It's out now. And I think you can get on DVD as well.
Absolutely.
You had me a vampire for sure. But another one that I've got to ask about because of this cast is Slasher Size. I mean, this seems like such a fun throwback movie. We've had Tiffany Shepis before, as well as Lisa Wilcox awesome. On the show. You know, they're both beautiful souls. Horror legend Felissa Rose. You play Heather. So tell us a little bit about that one. I mean, Amelise seems like they stacked this movie.
Well, there's a cool little backstory to this. So about 4 years ago, my friend, photographer, filmmaker, and director of Slasher Size, Amelie, she came to me about this art show that she was going to do. And it was an art show that showcased VHS covers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she wanted to make a VHS cover and she wanted to do it kind of like the Linnea Quigley yes. horror workout. And because I'm very active, I'm very, you know, I work out like a mad woman. I think that's why she thought of me for this. But she came to me and she's like, hey, how would you like to be like, you know, the Linnea Quigley of the horror workout for this, you know, VHS cover for this art show? I was like, hell yes. So we did the cover and, you know, I'm totally 80s spandex, you know, big hair, big makeup. And I'm like doing like this workout thing on the cover with these skulls as barbells.
Perfect. It is perfect.
And that was like 4 years ago. And that's kind of where that started. It was called Slasher Size. And it was a fake DVD cover, or I'm sorry, a fake VHS cover. It's just for an art show. But she came to me just this year because they were bringing that concept to life. So it's basically a film within a workout series. So there's going to be different volumes to it, and our volume's coming out soon. It's volume one. And that's basically it. You get to learn about the characters and what is Slasher Size. And I play Heather, and she is a personal trainer at a gym. And this is all set in the 80s. So we got, again, the spandex, the big hair, the crazy makeup. And she's kind of like a valley girl. And, you know, she's kind of like the bimbo of the gym, I guess you could say. but yeah, and she likes to spread gossip, and she, you know, she heard about this killer called Meathead, and this killer is going around targeting these personal trainers at gyms. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. Killer cast, and that should be coming out soon, I think. You know, we got Joe Bob Briggs, who is amazing. Yes.
Diana Prince.
Yes.
Yes.
Rose. I mean, it's the cast is definitely stacked, and it's definitely a throwback to the horror workout for sure from the 80s.
And it's funny you mentioned that because, I mean, I'm dating myself too, but, you know, back in the day, whenever I used to go to those VHS stores you're talking about, the cover of those VHSs is what sold me on picking the movies. Like, to me, Jason Goes to Hell was like my favorite VHS cover because it was like popping out and it was just, it was awesome. So the fact that you guys built this whole thing around the cover is just, that's awesome. That's very
Isn't
awesome.
That cool?
I'm very excited.
I know.
I'm very excited.
I just like, because I'm an 80s baby. And
me too.
I loved, you can't, I mean, the 80s was just something really special, and the 90s. And, you know, every you know, decade is special in its own way. But there was just something about the 80s, especially when it comes to movies, horror movies especially.
Exactly.
That makes it something very special. And that's one of my favorite covers, I think, from the 80s was Demon Wind. Did you guys ever see that?
No, I have not seen Demon
Wind. I haven't.
The movie, it definitely doesn't hold up, and it's super cheesy, but the cover has this like big monster breaking out of this window, and it was like a, I don't know what the word is. It would move.
Oh, 3D, like hologram?
Yeah, it was like a 3D sort of cover.
Nice.
So yeah, same. The covers is what sold me.
Yeah, I remember like Wishmaster and Rumpelstiltskin, like those two always freaked me out. They're not the best movies, but anyhow, that's not the point. You kind of touched on this a little bit ago, but I want to kind of follow up just real quick. You grew up on a farm in Minnesota. It doesn't get much more polar opposite from LA, Los Angeles than that.
Right.
How was the adjustment when you moved? I can imagine it was quite the culture shock.
Oh my gosh. Well, my early years, I lived on a farm, but those were the years that, you know, you're really starting to develop and learn about yourself. And I'm really grateful that I grew up on a farm because it really installed the work ethic that is what's needed when you're in this industry. You have to have strong, strong work ethic to get by because there's just no other way. And then from there, I moved to Anoka, which in Minnesota, which is the horror capital, Halloween capital of the world. That's where I graduated from.
Nice.
So it all makes sense why I love horror so much.
It's in your blood.
Yeah. But as far as the culture shock, it was really hard because I went originally from a school of, the graduating school that I was at was like 300. I went from that to a high school of a graduating class of 3,000.
Wow.
Culture shock to the T. Like,
holy crap.
But that's, I moved to a bigger city, Anoka, when I was, when I just turned 16. So I was a freshman. And that was, it was terrifying. Just utterly terrifying. And, because that was the population of the town I lived in. 3,000.
Right.
To a freshman class of 3,000. But then from there, moving there to LA, it was really hard. And luckily my partner, Joe, who's also one of my, he's also a writer and he's my business partner as well, because we have our own production company. You know, he's been with me from the beginning of my career and, you know, has really worked with me and helped guide me to be where I am today. And I'm so grateful for him. We support each other, which is very important and that you really need that in any kind of relationship. It was really hard. We both moved from Minnesota to LA and it took a while to adjust to that, especially with driving. The traffic out here.
I was going to ask you about the traffic. I know it's horrible.
It's insanity. it took me literally 8 months to drive on the highway when I moved out here. 8 months. I was like, I can't. I was terrified. But now this year we're going to be 10 years here in LA. So once I got past the little hump and the hurdle, I was driving like a mad woman too. You know, when you live in LA, it takes a while to, you know, really get off the ground, just to get a feel for everything and really, you know, be able to do anything and get comfortable. It took me, I would say, a good year to really adjust to, you know, living in Minnesota to moving to California and living in LA. It's hard, but if you can get through it, you're golden.
Right.
Find your Absolutely. Footing. Once you find your footing, you're good. I mean, even still to this day, I'm, you know, some things I'm just like, what the hell? But it's a day by day thing.
I get that.
You learn as you go. You learn as you go.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I don't want to kill the mood, but I saw the documentary Girl in the Picture. That was, God, what a sad story. Such a powerful one. Can you talk to us a little bit about working on that project? I mean, that documentary is like, it just got more sad every 5 minutes as you watched it here in this one story.
I know, it's so crazy. Like, I love watching crime documentaries, and, you know, I'm totally into that. Like I said, I went to school for criminal justice originally. So I love watching that kind of stuff. And it's not because I'm sick and twisted. Well, that could be part of it.
Same.
No, it's really interesting just to learn about that kind of stuff and why people do what they do. And I love learning about the history. But so whenever, you know, I see on casting sites, they're looking for recreation shows, like actors for recreation shows, I'm always jumping on it because I love doing recreation shows. Because I get to learn about the case and I get to bring to life a character that, you know, was either good or bad, or so it's really, really fun to do that. Not fun, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
No, I get it for sure.
Because I'm so interested in all that. Like, I love it. But that was really, it was really cool working on that show. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to remember what character name was. I think it was Heather. But she's a real person that was, she was a friend of the lady that, passed away. And so she's kind of telling her side of the story, what happened and how she was trying to help her and guide her and, get her away from her abusive, boyfriend at the time, who sadly eventually killed her. So it's a really sad story. So I tried to, you know, you don't really see me much in it, but I worked a handful of days on it, which was really cool. So yeah, like I said, it's always great working on those kind of shows and to be able to bring to life, you know, real life characters and kind of dive into their story and their background and what really happened.
Yeah. So, that was one of them ones where I had to pause it. Like after like 50 minutes, I was like, man, I feel terrible for this woman. She went through hell. She had such great opportunity as well. Before I transition to the next question, I just want to ask, you know, you admitted you're a big true crime fan like I am. Which killer, and, you know, maybe it's because we're sick and twisted, but which one do you find the most fascinating? I've watched, I swear, every John Wayne Gacy documentary or recreation ever. Like, I don't know why, but he is such a fascinating person.
Yeah, I actually went to the house where he last lived in. I believe they tore it down and there's another house built on top of it, but I was at that property. That is it Chicago? I think it's either.
Yeah, it's somewhere. Right? It's somewhere. It's like a suburb of Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's Des Plaines, Illinois, I think.
Okay. I can't remember.
It's something like that.
Yeah. That's a good one. And for me, I would say Ed Gein.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, wow, that he had so many films were based off of Ed Gein and what he did and his life story. You know, I've actually been to, because I like to go to these places too, if I'm in the area. And since I lived in the Midwest, I you know, I would go around to a lot of these different places, but he's from Plainfield, Wisconsin, and it's a very small town, very small farming community. And he had a house in the middle of nowhere, and he would go to his nearby cemetery and dig up bodies there and use, you know, use skulls as bowls and nipples for belts. And I mean, he did some crazy ass shit. Mm-hmm. But it's just really interesting, you know, to learn about them and learn what makes them tick and why they are the way they are. One thing I did notice that the correlation with a lot of these, you know, these people with, you know, Ed Gein wasn't a serial killer. He's technically not, because I think he only killed like two people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that's a commonality between all these killers is religion. You know what I mean? So it's like, right. it really just, they just take it one step too far. And, you know, Ed Gein's mom was very religious and strict and, you know, so it's just, it's really interesting. I think a lot of times these killers are either born evil or they were a product of their environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so interesting to learn about them.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, I saw on IMDb, you had the opportunity to work with the legendary Mr. John Carpenter as a production assistant for some music videos. Can you tell us about that experience working with him?
Oh my God. It was so freaking amazing. 'Cause it was on some songs. We did two of them. And because my friend was running the production, he's like, "Hey, you guys want to come in and help out on set?" And I'm like, "Yes, it's John fucking Carpenter. When am I ever going to get this opportunity to do this?" Right. So I helped out on set, and we were in his studio. We were in a studio actually, where Lady Gaga actually also was recording as well.
Wow.
It's a very famous studio in LA. I can't remember what it's called, but they had the whole setup there. They had the keyboards, pianos, you know, the drums, guitars, all that. And John came in with his son, because his son is, you know, part of his band as well, because they were making music for their new two new albums, I believe. And they were making music videos for him. And they both walk in, and I'm just like smitten. I'm like, "Oh my God." And I worked 2 days. I think I worked 2 days on that, because there are two different music videos. But when John Carpenter came walking in, it was his birthday. And was the very first person to wish him a happy birthday that day, because it was really early in the morning that we're all there. And he goes, "You're the first person to wish me a happy birthday." He's like, "Thank you." And I was like, "Oh my God." So it was cool. At one point when we were shooting the video, John and his son, when we were taking a break, they started playing. They went over to the pianos, because there was a keyboard and a piano, and John starts doing the Halloween soundtrack, and his son comes in and they both start going.
Oh,
it was just,
man,
it was one of those things you had to be there to be like, "Holy shit, mind blown."
Right.
I couldn't imagine.
Wow. No kidding.
Wow. It was for their album's Distant Dream, now that I remember. And then for a while, they were doing a tour where they were playing all the soundtracks from all the movies and everything. And it was just so cool.
He's fantastic. That's awesome. As a composer. He's really good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's unmatched, just, no doubt.
It doesn't get any better than that. I'm a big John Carpenter fan.
Okay, well, kind of stepping into the next little segment here, you brought up your production company, Neon Noir.
Yes.
Tell us about That's a Wrap. Obviously a project from your production company, and
yes,
you want to talk about Joe and whoever else. Can you tell us, like, what's the experience like being, you know, in charge of a production company? Is there added pressure, stresses, like, or is it easier since there's less people to answer to now?
Well, there's basically, so the production company, it was called Neon Noir, but it's KWF Productions now. We're slowly transitioning to that. But
okay.
It's myself, Joe Netter, who is our writer and producer, and Marcel Walls, who is our director producer. we decided to start our own production company because, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, throughout the years, you learn more and more as you go. The more movies you do, the more you learn, whether it's in front of the camera or behind the camera, you know, you start picking things up and you want to start just kind of branching out and doing your own thing. Because living in LA here, it's a beast. And, you know, it's, I mean, you're like, for an actor, you're constantly auditioning, constantly, you know, doing all this stuff, which is a part of the deal. It's a part of the daily grind. And, but a lot of times you don't get the part, you don't get the gig. And, right. You know, I'm under the mindset, if you want something done, you have to do it yourself. And, you know, it's just great because with Joe and Marcel, we all are huge fans of horror. So we have, you know, such a vast background of knowledge when it comes to the horror genre, which is right. Our favorite first and foremost. So we first started working on a film called Blind in 2018. That's where the three of us kind of started our relationship together. Marcel and I worked previously on another film called Rootwood before that, but it really all started when Joe came into the picture as well. And we, you know, we did Blind together, but that wasn't under our production company. That was a different producer. But that's kind of where it all started. And the relationship between the three of us kind of just blossomed from there. Friendship wise, creativity wise, work wise. And then we did a follow up movie called Pretty Boy, which should actually be coming out early next year. That's a sequel to Blind, both horror films. And, so we all worked really well together on that one as well. Joe wrote that, Marcel directed it, and I star in it. So with that one, with each of those films, we kind of did everything. And that's where we learned the producing side as well. Right. We learned the ins and outs, the, you know, distribution, the, you know, I mean, just film fest circuit, just everything when it comes to, you know, that kind of stuff. And we're like, you know what? We literally did all the work in that last one. Here on out, how about this? Let's create our own company. Let's do our own thing. We already know a lot about it. Right. Let's just reap the benefits as much as we can and do our own thing instead of, you know, giving it to other people that don't really do anything. And so that's kind of where that all started. And so in 2022, we formed our company and we came out with our first movie called That's a Wrap. And right. That one's very much a, I would say that one's a 90s style kind of whodunit slasher kind of mm-hmm. scream style. And it's so much fun. That was the first movie from our production company, and that came out 2023. Sorry, the gardeners just started.
Oh, you're fine.
Good old LA and their gardeners. So that's a really fun whodunit slasher, very giallo style, beautiful colors, great, you know, great storytelling, super fun, gory, crazy. Because with each film of ours, we want to do something different. We don't want to keep doing the same thing. So every film you see from us is going to be something completely different.
Okay.
So from That's a Wrap, we did a film last year. Actually, we did two films last year. The first one is called Garden of Eden. That one we finished late last year. And that one's more of a A24 style, kind of secret society, very beautiful, very gory, we like to call it our religious horror film. So we deal with a lot of, you know, religious themes and, it's really fucked up. and honestly, right now the religious aspect is coming back huge with Omen, with Immaculate, with I think that part of the horror area is starting to come back strong this year. So I think when it comes to these films, you need, like, timing is everything. And I think for Garden of Eden, the timing for coming out hopefully this year is like perfect.
Sounds great.
Because it's really just fucked up, but it's also really beautiful, very character driven. And then from there, we shot another film late last year, and we actually just had a LA industry screening for it called Brute 1976. That one's our kind of love letter to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Hills Have Eyes, the grindhouse style films of the 70s.
Right.
And we are so excited about that. We got to shoot in a, this ghost town that looks, abandoned, this huge, beautiful ghost town in Nevada. And it was just such a wonderful time. So, and we have news on both of those coming out real soon that we cannot wait to share. So okay. lots of good things on our production, with our production company, and we have a lot of plans as well coming up, and we cannot wait to, keep cranking them out.
Absolutely. Well, before I ask you about Space Wars, I really want to talk to you. Can we go back to That's a Wrap? Because we had the wonderful Serena Vincent on our show just recently. And so kind of just wanted to ask you about, working with her.
Serena is a freaking doll. Joe and I have known her since I would say about 10 years. We kind of met her on the convention circuit when we would do some, horror conventions, and she's just, and we've just kept in touch with her since. And, we told her about the film, sent her the script and everything. And she was just so excited about it because, I mean, she's a horror lover too. I mean, look at Cabin Fever.
Right. You've got the poster behind you.
Behind you.
Here.
Oh yeah, right there.
There you go.
Yeah, we met Eli Roth this past weekend at Spookala.
Oh my god, I'm so jealous. Yeah, that is. Cool. Oh, what show was that?
Spookala. It's a new convention in Tampa.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you guys have a Spooky Empire, right?
We have Spooky Empire and Spookala. We have two of them down here now.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. He's a director I would love to work with. Just throwing that out in the universe.
But, well, since we're best friends now, we'll give him a call.
Put in a good word for me, guys.
Yeah. Oh, we got you.
Serena's great. She came in. She was a pro. We were able to shoot her out in one day. And if you get a chance to see the movie, you're going to be like shocked because, what we were able to do in a day was just insanity. And she killed it. Serena, she's just such a pro. She's such a sweetheart. And we're hoping that we can work with her again sometime in the near future as well. Because she's just amazing. And when you're able to work with people that are passionate, driven, positive attitude, you want to work with them again. And that's why, my biggest thing is, I don't have an agent or manager. And I've been able to get all my gigs on my own, and every gig has led me to the next one. And, nice. It's like, you don't know if that PA is, a future director. You don't know if the wardrobe stylist is writing her own movie. I mean, you need to treat everyone with respect on set, no matter what their job is. Come in with a positive attitude. Don't bring in any drama, and you will get more work. This is a big industry, but a small world. And a lot of people forget that. So, just treat everyone with respect and be kind, and just be grateful that you're able to do what you're doing, because not a lot of people get these opportunities. So I'm, I don't take anything for granted, and I'm always just so grateful and for every job that I get, and always give it, 110%. I think that's what everyone should do, but the ones who don't, great for me, more work for me.
There you go.
That's right. Yeah, you have a stressful career. I would not want that pressure. Talk to us a little bit about Space Wars. We had on Sadie Katz last week, and she told us a little bit about her character, Elnora. Talk to us about playing Taylor.
Oh, man. Taylor is a role that I've always wanted to play. I would say she's a mix between Sarah Connor from Terminator and Ripley from Alien. She's a badass. She doesn't put up with any shit. You know, she'll throw down if she has to. And, you know, she's on a quest to get back her mom that she lost. So she's not letting anyone or anything stand in her way. And I'm so grateful. Gatto, our director, Gatto Setien, he came to me about this role. And, he came to me about being an action star, he said.
Oh, okay.
Which is great because, yeah, I love doing all physical stunts. I'm a very physical person. I can handle a lot. I'm very strong. And I can handle that kind of stuff. And finally, I was given this opportunity. And Gatto told me, he was just like, what do you, how would you like to be an action star in a space adventure film? I said, where do I sign up?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's cool how it all happened. And like I said, you know, so Gatto and I worked on a film called Automation 3-4 years prior. And I just had a small part in that, but we, you know, we clicked, we got along very well. Gatto was such a great friend, him and his wife, Anahit. And Anahit, she plays Jackie in Space Wars. You know, we all got along well. When I was done with Automation, we just stayed in touch. We hung out. And then eventually he came to me with this role, and it was the lead of the film. So that's what I'm saying is, you know, when you have good work ethic and you're, you know, kind and respectful to others, better opportunities come.
Right.
So yeah, he came to me about this and I'm like, hell yeah. And he's like, well, what do you think about Joe, my guy, Joe Netter, writing it? And I said, oh yeah, for sure. So then he got together with Joe and we got this really kick-ass movie and I'm so, so excited about it. Space Wars, it's what I like to say, it's our love letter to the sci-fi genre of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. If you're a fan of Battle Beyond the Stars, Star Crash, you're going to love this film. And yeah, Taylor's just, she's a badass. And my dad, Michael Pray plays my dad. And that was great because I've worked with Michael Pray a few times, but nothing this close.
Right.
Well, we could. There's so many colorful characters in this film. Every character has some sort of backstory going on. They have depth. They have meaning, and you know, it's wonderful when you get to work with actors that are just they're so good at what they do, and they bring so much to the table. Like that's what I love about working with Gatto. He gives us so much room to create and to bring to life these characters. You know, and Gatto, he's a huge fan, sci-fi fan, and you can see that bleeding through with this movie.
Right.
I love that. I love working with people that are passionate, that are excited, that, you know, are go-getters, and he definitely is all of that. So yeah, we're really excited about this film. Like I said, I get to do all my own stunts in it, which was really amazing.
Ooh, be careful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I get to kick some good ass in this movie.
Nice.
Good. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to go check that out for sure. And
man,
we could just sit here. I could just sit here and talk horror with you for, you know, forever.
Right.
I mean, but, and I'm not trying to take this interview on a completely sidebar here. And for our listeners that can't see what we're seeing, but Sarah is like sitting in a horror lair right now. And yeah. I'm so distracted. Every time you're turning it, I'm like, what the hell is that? Oh, I mean, is that the Shining rug that you have underneath you? You got masks from every... I just want to do a show on rug. What all you got. Wait, up in there.
Check this out. Halloween 3.
Halloween 3? Shit. Yeah, man, I'm so distracted.
You know, I got to say, it's really great living in LA because this is where a lot of classic horror films was shot.
Right.
South Pasadena, you got Halloween, you got... I mean... It's really great. Like I love living here and there's just so much horror history and you know, it's really, it's so much fun.
Well, with 100+ credits to your name, I mean, we could sit here and talk about all of your horror ventures for, you know, another 2 hours. So we're definitely going to have you back on, because we're not trying to take up too much of your time tonight. But
oh, for sure. I would come back on.
I do want to ask you 2 rapid fire questions if you're up for it.
Oh, God. I suck at them, but I'll try.
All right. They're easy, I promise. Number one, who are some of your favorite women in horror from the past and present?
Oh, my gosh. Well, past, I would say Cassandra Peterson.
Yes.
Well, she's past and present. Right. Elvira.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. I love that she's snarky. She's a badass. She tells it how it is. And she's so funny.
She was at Spookala this past weekend, too.
I
didn't get
that.
To meet her, but her line was super long. I didn't get a chance to meet her.
Was she in costume or no?
No, she did not go in costume. Not.
Sometimes she does. I don't know if she does it anymore. I met her once at, it was Texas Frightmare Weekend. And I walk up to her and she's like, "Oh, honey, you're hot." And Joe and I had a table there that weekend promoting our films. And then she came by later that weekend to our table and she was looking through all my pictures and she's like, "Well, you look so good." I'll never forget that. You know, and of course the classic Scream Queens, Linnea Quigley, Bree Stevens. I mean, they started it all. And, you know, it's just, it's so wonderful. And they're still working to this day as well. I would say as far as present, I love Sigourney Weaver too. Big Sigourney Weaver fan. I mean, she's technically not a horror person per se, but I mean, she's done a lot of horror films.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. Alien 1 is a horror film.
Definitely.
So
present, gosh, I would say Barbara Crampton. She's OG as well, but she's really coming back freaking strong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love her. I have so much respect for her. You know, she's seen it all. She's been there, done that, and the films that she's currently doing are all fucking kick ass.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sorry. Can I swear on this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
We just did a release for Shudder, and what was it called that had her in it?
Barbara Suitable Hansen Flesh.
And Heather.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It was great. Yeah, so she's killing good. It still. And she and looks so good still.
I rewatched recently Your Next.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, so good. I freaking love that movie so much. So, yeah, so those are just a few of, you know, a shitload of, you know, absolutely. Wonderful actresses.
The last rapid fire I wanted to ask is, if you could be in any horror franchise currently, what would it be?
Because of my history, and this is where my love of horror started, I would say Child's Play.
Nice.
Hands down. Like, I would love to be on the Child's Play series. That it's so good. It's so freaking good. So, yeah, that's my answer.
Awesome.
Is that the ghost mask from Never Hike Alone behind you with the Jason mask right there? That's in that case? Because, I mean, I'm a big collector of Jason masks. And so I was...
I don't remember I think this is part...
That looks like the Jason versus Freddy one right there.
It could be.
Actually.
It does look like Freddy versus Jason.
Joe would know. He's the one that set up this whole room.
Oh, okay. All right. I got to talk to Joe. We and him got to talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like an encyclopedia for horror.
Fantastic. Joe Netter, come on the show. We're going to have a talk. We need to go through props.
Yes. He has a lot of great stuff to promote, too.
Before I let you go, do you want to just shout out your social media where the fans can follow you and all that?
Yes. You guys can find me on Instagram at Sarah French Online. You can also find me on Facebook, Sarah French. And yeah, I'm always interacting with fans. I love to chat with everyone and I'm always, you know, promoting my stuff.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Well, thank you
really
so much.
We really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Well,
thank you guys so much for having me. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Just want to remind everybody. The hands of fate from the midnight hour.
this man.